So I'm going to turn it over to Narcisa. She's going to read our passage today, then Pastor Henry is going to come and bring the word.
Good morning. So the scripture of today would be found in Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And it says, "So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring the people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh to bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign you that it is who I have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on his mountains." Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I am so very proud of all of our students who are involved this morning, even the students in worship. Thank you guys so much for serving and being willing to be used this morning. Pastor Tim already mentioned it, but I would like to, on behalf of Emma as well, just say how humbled we are of your generosity and your giving. We are so grateful, so appreciative of what you have given us, not just Pastor's Appreciation Day, but just allowing us to minister to your students and to be here a part of your family. Thank you so very much. We are so grateful, so very humbled to be a part of this ministry and this church. Well, it has been 4 months since I became the youth pastor of Lighthouse Youth, and as Pastor Tim has mentioned, the day has finally arrived, the day I knew would come, but just had no clue when it would come. And today is that day, the day that I have the opportunity to preach to all of you. Now, I have one warning before I begin. Sadly, this sermon will be probably no longer than 30 minutes. I see a couple weird looks. You mean to tell me you can preach in under 30 minutes? I could preach to you in under 20 minutes, but I won't do that this morning. All jokes aside, I am grateful to have the opportunity to be here to preach to all of you, and grateful to be under the leadership of Pastor Tim and Pastor Jan, who love to see people develop their giftings and their callings. I mean, you take one look at our entire worship team every Sunday, and you will see that this is their heart. Their heart is to watch young people and people in general develop their giftings, develop their callings, and I'm so grateful to be under their leadership. Well, I felt called into ministry at the age of 18. I had started serving in the youth ministry, the youth group, at our home church, and I believe it was about six to eight months after faithfully serving that my youth pastor, Pastor Dylan, gave me the opportunity to preach to the youth group. And I remember distinctly feeling, especially afterwards, just that I felt called to do this. I felt called to preach. I felt called to be a youth pastor. I felt like this is what God had called me to do. And fast forward, 4 years later, I went to school 2.5 years for it, studying to do it, and now I am doing it. I have made it to the point, and nothing stirs me more than to lead a youth group, than to lead these students. But can I be honest with you this morning? Nothing frightens me more. recently, I've been feeling very inadequate, very incapable of doing what God has called me to do. I've had these feelings with the youth group. I've had these feelings just at my second job. Sometimes I have failed in these areas. I've failed, I've gotten behind on sermon prepping or connecting and messaging students and staying engaged with them on a week-to-week basis. Sometimes at work, I've been rude, impatient, unloving, and sarcastic. And believe it or not, these feelings of inadequacy, these feelings of not feeling like I could do it, not being capable enough to do it, have only heightened with the thought of having to preach to people who are way older than me, no offense, with much more life experience and much more wisdom than I have. And I found myself asking God questions such as, how am I, the introvert, going to speak effectively and concisely and clearly to all of you? How am I going to pour into students week after week after week? How am I going to lead people in their walks of faith when I am trying to get better myself? How am I going to be a pastor, a shepherd, inside these walls and outside these walls? And I felt God gently but firmly reminding me that I can't. Wait, Pastor Henry. This is your first time preaching to us. Sermons should generally be like encouraging, uplifting, and challenging. Listen, I felt God reminding me that I can't, but that he can. I'd like to read the text one more time this morning. Exodus 3, 10 through 12, as Narcissa read, says, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, being God, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Firstly, God chooses to use inadequate and unworthy people to accomplish his will. God says in verse 8, two verses earlier, that he, God, has come down to deliver the Israelites out of the grasp of their oppressors. He's come down, he's heard their cry, and he's come down to deliver them from Egypt. But then, in verse 10, God tells Moses, "I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." You see, Moses would be the instrument of God's victory over Pharaoh and God's deliverance of his people. But Moses would not be the musician. Moses would not be the one delivering the people. Moses would not be the one sending the plagues. Moses would not be the one hardening Pharaoh's heart. Moses would simply be the instrument through which God was choosing to move and work and operate through. In other words, on his own, Moses could not be victorious, and Moses could not deliver the people out of Egypt. So God says, "I will send you. I will send you. I am choosing to operate and move through you." Did God need Moses? Did God need Moses? No. Did God need David? No. Did God need Abraham? No. Did God need the disciples? No. Did God need Paul? No. Does he need us? No. But by his grace, he chooses to use us to accomplish his will. You see, you are chosen by God to be used by God. Now, to what capacity God chooses to use you is entirely up to him. Okay, but Pastor Henry, what is God planning to use me for? Now, this is not the point of the message, but I felt that some of you may not know what God has called you to do. Some of you may not understand what he has called you to do, and that's okay. It's okay to be there. But we read in Exodus 2, one chapter before, that one day Moses was out, and the Bible says he looked on their burdens, there being the Israelites. You see, before God had specified and clarified Moses' call, Moses carried a burden for his people. Moses had a burden before his call was specified. So, I ask you this, what is your burden? Who is your burden? Where is your burden? What moves you? What stirs you? Because God may not audibly specify your call as he did for Moses, but he may be using your passions, your burdens, your desires to move you and guide you to where he wants you to be. But back to the story. God has just specified Moses' call. He has just told Moses that he is going to use Moses to deliver his people. God is choosing to use Moses. But then, in verse 11, Moses responds to God with a response similar to ours, saying, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" You see, Moses was aware of his inability. He was aware of his inadequacies. He was aware of his past failures. God has called him to a task that he feels unworthy of and incapable of doing. How many of you, if you were to be honest this morning, would say that you feel incapable of doing what God has called you to do? unqualified, unworthy, and inadequate. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's leading your family, whether it's your career, whether it's reaching that neighbor, starting that ministry, starting that business, whether it's reaching your coworkers. As I expressed earlier, I have felt incapable of doing what God has called me to do. And I think sometimes it's easy to assume that just because someone is doing what God has called them to do, they have this unwavering confidence. I'm going to be honest, I don't have that unwavering confidence. And I haven't had that unwavering confidence. And maybe you are in the same boat, and if you aren't, you might be there someday. And so I find what God says next very humorous. Instead of reaffirming Moses, instead of encouraging him, God simply says, "But I will be with you." Which brings me to my next point. The presence of God is necessary to accomplish his will and his purposes in and through us. By not directly answering Moses' question, God is essentially saying, "Yeah, Moses, you are definitely inadequate. Yes, you are certainly unworthy. And yes, you really can't do this, Moses." But God is also doing something else here. God is shifting Moses' perspective. He's reminding Moses not of who Moses is and not of what God has just called him to do, but God is reminding Moses who Moses is serving and who has just called Moses to do what Moses is called to do. You see, "God, I can't lead my wife, but I will be with you. God, I can't respect or honor my husband, but I will be with you. God, we can't lead our family, but I will be with you. God, I can't reach that person, but I will be with you. God, I can't start that ministry or that business, but I will be with you. God, I'm too old or I'm too young or I'm just in the middle, but I will be with you. God, I can't go there and I can't do that, but I will be with you." Moses would only be adequate and would only be worthy as long as God provided the adequacy and supplied the sufficiency. And the same can be said for us today. God must supply our adequacy and our worthiness and our capabilities. God must be with us in order to do what he has set before us. You see, we can't be victorious unless he is with us. I can't be a shepherd of these students, aka a youth pastor, if God is not with me. I mean, I could, but I think I would do a pretty bad job at it. It isn't just the fact that God is with us. This is something we have to take hold of. We must trust that God is with us. With every fiber in my being, I must have the faith that the God of victory is with me as I set out to do what he has called me to do. But what about when you can't or don't necessarily feel God with you? What then? You see, God gives Moses a sign, but the thing about the sign that God gives Moses is that Moses would not receive the sign until 2.5 months later. 2.5 months later. You see, obedience is the way in which the presence of God is evident in us and through us. God says, "And this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." In other words, God is saying, "Do what I have told you to do, and I will be with you as you do it. And I will work, and I will speak, and I will move, and I will operate in you and through you. And if you are looking for a sign, don't, because it isn't something that's coming. It will come once you arrive with Israel here at this mountain." Moses had to be obedient. His obedience was necessary to be in proximity to the presence of God. So the point is that God would be with Moses, that God would accomplish his will and his purposes through an obedient instrument. And the instrument would only succeed if he was obedient and if God was with him. You see, many of us, myself included, want to feel God with us. We want to tangibly feel God. We want to see God. We want to audibly hear his voice. We want to know that God is with us. We want to be affirmed by him. But oftentimes, God would rather nudge us in the way of obedience. You see, as I was preparing for this message, even yesterday as I was finishing it, I began to face those feelings of inadequacy, those feelings like, I cannot do this. I had to ask Emma to come in, like, Emma, how would you close this? Because I could not figure out how to close this message. I could not figure out how to make it super practical. I just couldn't figure it out. And I sat there and I expressed my inability to do what God had set before me. And there he went again, reminding me, Henry, you can't do it, but I can. I don't know who needs to hear this message. I don't know what God is maybe speaking to you, but I felt God tell me that he will accomplish what he wants to accomplish. I just need to be faithful to deliver the message. You see, I can't impart something in you. I can't do what God wants to do in you, but he can. I just have to be faithful to deliver what he wants me to deliver. Did he tell me this is the exact word that I should deliver? No, I didn't hear an audible word from the Lord saying, Henry, you're going to preach on Exodus 3, 10 through 12. I was just reading and I came back to this and it spoke to me, so I wanted to speak it to you. And I believe that whatever God wants you to hear, you're going to hear. And as I was expressing those fears, those questions, those doubts, those inadequacies to God, he said, I will do what I have set out to do. Trust in me and just deliver it. So I don't know how God is speaking to you. I don't know how God is moving through you, through this message. I don't know. But I have to trust that he will accomplish what he wants to accomplish this morning. So as Nathaniel comes back up, you know, I referred to Moses earlier being an instrument through which God was moving and was operating. And you see, the thing about instruments, you see this piano, this keyboard, this whole time while I've been speaking and while I've been delivering the message that God wants me to deliver, none of you probably noticed this keyboard. Why? Because it's not making a noise. It's no one's playing it. This keyboard, without anyone playing it, is pretty useless. It's pretty useless. But when Nathaniel comes up to play it, it's going to start making a noise. It's going to be useful. And we are like this piano, except we have a divine musician. And in the right hands, we become able to produce and do what God has called us to do. So when Nathaniel comes up to play, you're going to begin to hear him play. That piano, all of a sudden, is going to make a beautiful noise, a beautiful sound. Now, I know, like, obviously, we're not pianos, and we have thoughts, we have feelings, and this piano doesn't. But if this piano wasn't here, if none of these instruments were here, what would we rely on? We'd rely on their voices. But because they're here, they're able to be used. So be willing to be used by God. Put yourself in a position to be used by God and watch what he does. Watch how he uses you. You can only be effective. You can only do what God has called you to do with him. I find that funny. I find that God calls us to something that we can only accomplish if we were to rely on him. Isn't that funny how God works in that way? God says, I'm calling you to do this, but I'm calling you to do this because you need me to do it. I could do this without you, but I'm calling you to do it. I'm choosing to use you. I'm choosing to move and operate through you. I know you're feeling inadequate. I know you're feeling like you can't do it. And to be honest, you can't, but I can through you. So I don't know what you're battling with. I don't know if any of you have those feelings of inadequacy or those feelings of doubt or those feelings that you can't do what God has set before you to do. But I'm here to tell you, you can't, but he can. God chooses to use you. He chooses to move and operate through you. Will you be obedient? Will you rely on his presence in your life? So as they play this last song, I would just like to welcome all of you. I don't know how this has spoken. I don't know how God has spoken to you. Just to be perfectly honest, I don't know. But I know he is speaking and he is moving and he is working. Because I have to trust that he is. I have to know that he is. So in whatever way God is speaking to you, is wanting to do in you this morning, I encourage you to come down to the altar. I will invite Pastor Tim, Pastor Jan, Emma, and the elders. If there's something specific you need prayer for, if there's some specific feeling of inadequacy or incapability, come down for prayer. If God is speaking to you or moving in you in a different way, I encourage you to come down for prayer. We have an opportunity this morning to be obedient to what he has called us to do. We have an opportunity this morning to invite him into our situation, into our call, because we can't do what he has called us to do without him. So this morning they're going to play this last song, and I just encourage you, in whatever way that God is moving or speaking to you, to come down for prayer, and then I'll close in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you that you have chosen us. God, right now I just lift up the person or the people in here that don't know their call. God, I pray that you would begin to stir and move in them. I pray that you would guide them and direct them. God, clarify and specify their call. Clarify and specify what you would have them do. Lord, right now I lift up the rest of the room. Lord, I pray that you would empower us. Lord, I pray that you would rest upon us. God, I pray that we would be a resting place for your presence, for your spirit. And God, I pray that as your presence, your spirit rests upon us, I pray that you would empower us to accomplish what you have set before us to do. God, we are so grateful. We are so grateful that because of your Son, because he died, and because he ascended, you sent your Spirit. God, empower us through your Spirit. Lord, we know that you are here with us, even right now, as you were with Moses, through your Spirit. So God, I pray that you would empower us. I pray that you would give us boldness. And God, I pray that whenever we have those feelings of inadequacy, unworthiness, those feelings that we can't do what you have set before us to do, Lord God, I pray that you would remind us that you will be with us. God, we love you, we thank you, and I pray that you would continue to be with us throughout the rest of our week, continue to work in us, move in us, and work and move through us to spread your good news. God, we love you, we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.